states, it will be shown around the world that this is the way to go, and it will set off rejections of these criminals around the globe. And I'm hoping now, see, this globalization crapola that they've put out and killed us all with is going to come back and bite them in the fanny, because we have a global reach with our information today. And if America can sort out its problems and the world sees them doing it, you will see them quickly get in line and start doing it themselves in their own place, in their own countries, including Europe and Asia and South America. I mean, I just had a guy on the other day from Argentina who's pushing as hard as he possibly can to get these facts out. So this is a global possibility of fixing this problem, and we really need to take the most aggressive actions possible to make sure that everyone is informed about where we are, what's going on, who did it, and what the solutions are. So that Constitution is definitely the main pillar of our solutions. You know, one of the other things I wanted to talk about here is marginalizing me, Muhammad. You know, you and I have both had our share of attacks over the months and years of doing this. One of the most potent attacks that I've had to deal with has come over the last few months with my website being placed on... did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Being put on web surfing filters around the world, including one I have in front of me that they've put me on called Surf Control. I am considered an intolerance and hate site. And it's interesting, my site is an intolerance and hate site. When you see all over it, I don't blame all Jews for this. I blame Zionists, and it's quite clear that I'm very careful not to bring in racial epithets against any group or any people. But yet, I'm on the list, and people like Rivero aren't on the list, and of course, Alex Jones would never be on it, or Rents. None of these guys are on this list, but certainly... the way to marginalize my facts is to put me on it, because you know you can't get me in any library or any school or any of that stuff. I'm banned. Banned everywhere you go publicly.
Well, if it was only a matter of time, you know, before these people started, because they've been struggling for such a long time to control your message, and in all fairness to them, if you like, this is... obviously an effective way of stopping access in some areas. It does take school children out, it takes certain libraries out, and not just in the United States. All that one is, along with WebSense, these things are international. No doubt it is important to try and protect children from being exposed to things which are unpleasant in the world. There are quite a few things that children should be protected from. I would include George Bush as something which the children of the world should have been protected from but weren't, given the number that have died as a result of his conduct. So in the one sense, we've got, you know, a group of do-gooders out there who apparently want to protect children's ears and eyes from some kind of unpleasant speech. And in another breath, we're quite happy to drop phosphorus bombs on children all over Palestine. And somebody somewhere really needs to look at their morality meters and think, you know, where are we going and coming from with this stuff? You know, it defies belief. But of course they're going to keep attacking you, Darryl. I mean, these people are frightened, because very few people have had the courage to stand up to them and take it as far as the French Connection has. It's gone a long way under the French Connection, and I think that with time we'll keep chipping away, especially now. People are understanding the consequences of supporting Gordon Brown and these bankers, is that actually they've got to put their hands into their own pockets and feed them themselves. And this is causing, you know, a great deal of revolt in this country, although nobody really understands the reality why. They do understand that they don't want to pay out of their own pockets for this.
Well, you know, there's a quote now at the top of my website here that I had put up there. It's by Arthur Schopenhauer. And, of course, many of you out there who've studied any philosophy in college will remember the name. You may not know what he's famous for. He's an interesting guy, but he wrote this. He said, all truth passes through three stages, he said. The first is it is ridiculed. The second, it is violently opposed. The third, it is accepted as being self-evident. Where are we on the list of those three things right now, Muhammad?
We're somewhere between two and three, Darryl.
Yeah.
The ridicule phase, we went through all of that as the 9/11 nutcases, 7 years ago now. We've now reached the stage where, you know, we've been fighting. We still have these people turning up in the mainstream media saying, oh, if I hear one more conspiracy theory, I'm going to jump off a building, or I'm just going to punch the guy who's saying it. There's a lot of this outrage. I still hear it on London radio, whether it's the BBC. The BBC are terrible culprits in all of this, or LBC, or any one of the other local radio stations for London. If anybody starts saying, well, you know, have you really looked into how these towers fell at this, you know, at the speed of gravity on 9/11, there are people say, oh, don't start this conspiracy rubbish again. So that's not a conspiracy, that's a scientific fact borne out by every single camera angle that's ever recorded the event.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a theory, that's a self-evident fact. It's been examined so many thousands of times, but these people are still part of that school duggery to try and fight against it. But I think that they are failing because people are waking up to this in other ways. They're just saying, well, you can tell me I'm a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I've never seen anybody get away with what these bankers have got away with.
Well, you know, the question is, have they got away with it? I don't think they've got away with it. And I think you're saying it correctly that they certainly believed they had gotten away with it, especially in the first couple of years when everybody was blaming some you know, nincompoop in a cave in Afghanistan. And you still see them acting on that information as though some guy in a cave in Afghanistan did it. That's what they're sending more troops over there for. But the fact is, they haven't gotten away with it, and this is not going to go down the memory hole like the Kennedy murder did. The fact is, too many people are demanding the answers, and too many people are demanding retribution for the crimes committed, and this won't go away. And as much as 9/11 is an important issue, I mean, we're talking about, you know, just in the last, since 9/11, the Israelis have murdered more people in Gaza than died during 9/11. There have been more millions of people die in Iraq and displaced and poisoned and nukes, you know, suitcase nukes detonated. And my goodness, Mohammed, They're still murdering people, and that New York event, while dramatic, was a walk in the park compared to what they did to Iraq. So, but people aren't buying it anymore. And you know, part of the reason why the financial blame is going on Zionist Jews is because people have woke up to the fact that in every single corner you search, every time you put a light on 9/11, you find a Jew involved, a Zionist Jew. And again, we got to qualify here. Not all Jews are bad, and not all Jews are involved in crime. And certainly many of them are fighting against the criminal gangs, so that needs to be noted here. But the people who did this, Silverstein, Lowy, Louder, I mean, and up and down the military structure in America, the political structure, all Zionist Jews, and then it goes all the way back to Israel and the Mossad. And so basically, once people made the jump, the leap of faith to start believing that the Israelis were behind that, and many millions have believed that, it's not hard to believe that they're behind all these other things because their names are all over that as well.
We certainly know from when the Armenian genocide came up as an issue recently, in that the Armenians were being told that they couldn't use the word Holocaust in connection with the million Armenians who had been murdered, we found that the people who were trying to maintain the copyright on the term Holocaust, again, were the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Nobody else is allowed to have a Holocaust except them. You know, it's just an outrage, really, the kind of places that we find them and the kind of things that we see them doing as they try to maintain this brand and this status in the eyes of people. It has certainly backfired. You know, we also have recently in Turkey, we saw the leader of Turkey actually having a public spat with one of the darkest members of the Sephardi community in Israel. And there was a time when, the leader of Turkey would not say boo to a goose. He would not have said a damn word to somebody like Peres. He would have just been too frightened.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrified. But this guy, when he did it, he arrived back at home in Turkey to a hero's welcome.
Yeah.
Again, there was a time when the Turks would never have heard a bad word about the Israelis. But of course the Israelis started supporting the Kurds. And the Turks, who've been allies of the Israelis for 40 years, said, listen, you know, you can't support them and be our friends. And I think that people are waking up to the duplicity of these people, you know, and they caused enormous offence. And I think that that's also, they've burnt a bridge there, a bridge that they're reliant on for local security in the area for their maintaining of their position. So they are suffering some severe public relations losses, and they are burning bridges around the world. Sadly, the UK is not at the forefront of this now. America is far more awake now than I would imagine we could say the UK is. The UK is a long way behind. And I think the anti-Zionist party in France is a demonstration of the culture in France, that people are a long, long way advanced, that somebody's prepared to do that. That's a great step.
Well, you know, Dreyfus affair here in France really spelled the end of independence for the French government, and we know full well that the charges initially made against Dreyfus were more probably than not spot on in their first instance, and of course they parlayed that into what they considered a witch hunt against Jewish control, and in fact they did the same thing with McCarthy in the United States when he started pointing out that they called them communists at the time, but everybody being fingered at the time were Zionist Jews in Hollywood, and that got reversed. But this time, they're not going to be able to reverse it. One of the reasons I know that they're not going to be able to reverse it is because their biggest spokespeople in the truth movement, people like Alex Jones and this guy Burmis and the rest of them, are being exposed as plants, as shills. You know, this guy Burmis, you'll see it on the front page of my site, and you'll see it all over the net right now. This guy Burmis said that the Jews had nothing to do with 9/11, and it's a big, and I'm sick of people attacking Jewish people, blah, blah, blah. Of course, Burmis is Jewish. And he now Alex Jones is going to be on ABC Radio, which is a mainstream radio owned by Walt Disney, run by Michael Eisner and all of the Zionist criminals in the media, and he's going to take his Rush Limbaugh position and never declare that Israel had anything to do with any of it. And of course, now we know darn well that the guy's a shill. I've been saying it since I was back on GCN, and you know, I was on GCN five years ago, and I knew the guy was a shill then. And I've been screaming and hollering this stuff for 4 years. He's finally done himself in. He's shot himself in the foot enough times that people are waking up to the fact the guy is a liar and he works for the Israeli. He might not work for Israel. He might work for the CIA. He might work for Israel. Who knows who he works for? It doesn't matter. He's a liar. And you'll never get the truth from the guy.
He's a useful idiot, Darrell, even if he's not in receipt of a paycheck from them. Let's work on the basis that he's just that stupid. that he actually can't see that, you know, five Israelis who are dressed up in Arab clothes celebrating the attacks as they happened and were caught by New York police with the Arab garb in the back, and then went on Israeli TV and said they were only there to document the events. So he can ignore that on the basis that he really is that stupid. Well, we give people the option, do you really want to follow somebody who is that stupid? And people who are that stupid are termed a useful idiot by the other side. The other side love people who are useful idiots. This guy genuinely believes this. Let's promote him. Let's put him on the mainstream media. He's so stupid, he can't see what's really going on. But he's fighting our cause, and we don't have to pay him anything.
Well, I think it's far more sinister than that. I think he actually works for them, and I have had my, the proof I need has come out so often that I don't need any more. When I was on GCN, that's when I started pumping the idea that the Lubavitch was involved, Shabbat Lubavitch, and there was some ceremony. I was axed in a New York second when I started barking about the Lubies, and of course Alex Jones never once spoke to me, and in fact, when I called his show to promote something that was important I was doing on my show, while I was on the same network, he said, "Oh, it's you," he says. I said, "Yes, it's me." As though, you know, what are you calling my show for, you know? And I can remember thinking to myself, something wrong with this guy. But I must admit, he brought a lot of people into the fight. And smart people who have migrated away from him and said that he's leaving the most important element out of his story have come and ultimately become fighters with me and with so many other people who know the facts. So on that score, he's brought a lot of people in. But there are millions of people in the United States who've heard of this cretin that should be listening to the truth every day, and instead they're getting right at the last turn, it's the most important bit of information. Who did it? Who did it? That's where he goes wrong. Tells you the whole story, and then he gets to the point of who did it, and it's the German death cult. It's the New World Order.
It is indeed difficult to believe that he isn't paid by the other side,
yeah,
and that he's willfully working. That is very problematic. I mean, I'm just saying, even in the most extreme situation that he was that dumb, would you really want to follow somebody that was dumb, that is so dumb? But I do agree with you. I don't think that you can be involved in this movement for such a long time and not really see who is responsible.
That's right.
Not really see who owns the banks, who owns the newspapers, who owns our governments and politicians. It's unequivocally clear. You don't actually have to scratch that hard. If you look at the Obama's administration, good grief. I mean, it looks like a Passover festival.
Yep.
With a black guy stood in the middle, I just said.
Yep.
There's only him that's apparently non-kosher. I don't think anybody can seriously look at this and say, wow. I mean, how did Alex Jones ignore the entire administration of Obama? All the people that he's picked, I don't see anybody there who's not a dual passport holder. And everybody, bar maybe three people, including himself, is not a dual passport holder. How can Alex Jones ignore that? These are publicly known facts. This isn't conspiracy theory.
That's right. And but see, at the same time, he's a very practiced and even a wily presenter, and he always goes toward the lowest common denominator, and he's got bluster and I call him Foghorn Leghorn, you know, the old Warner Brothers cartoon, the rooster. I said boy, you're Foghorn Leghorn, Foghorn Leghorn Jones, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, you know. So but why I'm keep going after him is because he does have a lot of support that we need. And I'll tell you something, you know, the French Connection getting 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 people in a day's visits, you know, I should have 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people reading this information or listening to our analysis, and this guy should have none. You know, we need to reverse those numbers, and we've got to get these people to migrate away from this SOB, really.
Well, I think that we're still moving towards a critical mass. It's difficult to estimate the rate at which that's happening, I'm afraid, Darrell. You know, we did tell people at the time that your analysis of the Lubies, when we went on and discussed them all those years ago, and it got you chopped off at that stage, that I said, you know, we are approaching a critical mass. We are getting there. We are winning people over. There are people prepared to look into this stuff. And slowly but surely, we you know, more and more people are coming over. I'm hoping that this anger in the UK will become frustration that drives people into looking for answers.
Yes.
We've got a lot of people who are in that really stupid situation, and it is stupid when you look at it, of I know something's wrong, but won't look for what it is. You know, I think the difference between me and you and the great crowd we've got out there listening to the French Connection is that they are people who said, something's wrong, let me see what this is. It must be possible to try and get a handle on what this is, rather than this, oh, well, it's something's wrong, but it's the government's job to fix it, or it's my local politician's job to fix it, and try, or it's Alex Jones' job to fix it. You know, they're just leaving it to somebody else. People have to start taking that bit of personal responsibility for getting to what the bottom of all this is about. As soon as they do that, and start looking, we'll seek and ye shall find. It's the website sat there waiting. The files are sat there waiting, Darrell. It's all sat there waiting for people. They've just got to start looking.
Well, somebody told me, you know, that now I've got over 800 hours of audio files that have been done, and that I should work to try and organize it somehow so people can sift through it in a more easier manner, because I mean the subject matter is so broad and so in depth that we've covered it all, and it's daunting. You go to the website, and I mean that front page is full of stuff, but that's, you know, there are 9 gigabytes of stuff on this website, and it's actually becoming a behemoth. It's just huge, and it's actually daunting when you first arrive. When you take a look at, you know, the back pages and the audio pages and all the rest of it, it's huge, and I have to do something about that because it is getting unmanageable. It's like throwing an encyclopedia at somebody and then saying, but you can't use your eyes to find any of the information. You just have to listen to the whole book. Excuse me. And, well, I don't know. Things are dicing up and hotting up here. And I'm wondering, Mohammed, what your plans are. I know you keep fighting this fight with me and getting on here talking about these subjects. Are you recommending people in your family to start taking action, such as growing gardens and reserving certain things for the future? Because I got to say, I don't see any of this ever getting better from this point. Today's going to be the best day the world is going to see for a long time, and tomorrow will be worse than today, and so forth down the path to perdition, if you will. What do you see as your activities, and what do you recommend people do to start staving off the future effects of this nightmare?
Well, forewarned is forearmed, and you know, one of the problems that we have, Darrell, is, you know, looking at where does it end. It is very much the road to serfdom that we're all walking down at the moment, and we're a long way down that road. There is, in the middle of all of this, in the midst of this insanity, there is clarity. We've always said on the French Connection, you know, that it's critical for people to do their own due diligence. We've
That's
got
right.
a lot of people out there who've come through the education process.
Yep.
But for somebody who's new to your site, we still have to tell them, do your due diligence.
Yep.
Don't just take what we're saying at face value.
Hmm.
The books have been scanned in and put up on the site, and the articles and the tapes have been put on the site so that people can research, because we don't want blind adherence. It doesn't help anybody.
No.
One educated, informed individual is worth 100,000 people who are just there emotionally following something. So it's critical for people to realize, yes, it is a daunting task to educate yourself, but, you know, you've got to get on with it. You've got to look at the facts, read the history, see what people have said, and look at what's going on now. And if you can see the same thing, then what we're saying today has got verification. That's the big underline. What we're saying today is only what you'll find in the books, but don't take our word for it. Go and look at it. In terms of planning for the future and where does this go, I suppose, Darrell, we're hoping for some form of social revolution rather than anarchy.
That's right, and that will be born out of knowledge. And see, you know, you can take your venom and your anger out against your neighbor instead of the right person, and that's not going to get us anywhere. What we need to do now is start focusing on solutions. One of them that we've brought up so many times, again, with the solution with the oath keepers, is one for law enforcement. But for us down here at the bottom, if we're going to stay strong in the face of this onslaught that's coming, we got to have health, and of course, having a food, a solid and reliable food source is paramount. But we also have to have some solutions for the possibility that they might use more dastardly and horrible weapons, such as viral attacks on us, or, you know, this flu virus brought that to the fore here. You know, they can have a bioweapon dropped on us in a decision. And we've got to bolster our immune systems, and the best way to do that is eating well, of course, and treating yourself well. But I've been trying to find some substances that recently, Muhammad, and I've talked to you about it. I found a lot of research from some very powerful sources on vitamin D, and that needs to be looked in by everybody. Look into it. Don't take my word for it. I've got a few of the research sites on the site, but you go further and you'll find out that vitamin D is one of the things that keeps viruses and bacteria at bay in the body by bolstering your immune system. But if we're the healthy group in the bunch, we'll be able to fight. If you laying around dying someplace, you're not going to be able to help get this thing sorted. So staying healthy is the first goal, and that's part of that also is limiting your stress, having a garden. Don't get into any new debt. Pay down your debt if possible. Stop making associations with people who are have resources you don't have, and maybe you've got resources they need, and try to work things around those kind of ideas. Muhammad, do you have any other suggestions for people?
Well, you know, if this does go down the route of social breakdown as opposed to a new social order, it'll be very scary for people, Darrell. And we were discussing previously being on that rock with Coyote. Well, the high tax rate is the rock turning.
Yeah.
You know, that's certainly the death knell for the UK. I don't know, this is a genuine nail in the coffin. I can't speak for other European countries, the various states that they're at, or the United States. But for the UK, this rock is now turning. And people, you know, like Coyote, stood there thinking he's on terra firma. Then all of a sudden the rock turns and he realises what's going on. That's the wake-up. The question, I suppose, is how long there is and this desperate attempt to crawl out to the other face of the rock, which he seems to go through. But people are beginning to realise, well, something. We backed Brown in this. We've made a mistake. Is there anything we can do? Well, certainly being stood on the top of the rock again rather than on the underside would be preferable, but this rock is going to collapse and it's going to hurt. The question is only how much.
Yep.
And
yep.
Nobody's getting out of this. You can't make, you know, an omelette without breaking a few eggs, eh, Darrell?
Yep.
There are going to be some broken eggs, and that's the end of it. the question is now really, you know, are you going to be fighting for what's in your own garden, or are we going to be doing this in a much more socially acceptable way? Because it would imply you've got two sort of routes in front. One is to start making your own produce, or the second is to practice various forms of ninja skills or SWAT tactics to take the food off of the people.
And, you know, boy, that second one is not preferable, because, I mean, it might be fun if you're a teenager or something, but, you know, boy, there's whole swaths of society that really need to start strengthening their resolve about having resources of their own. And I mean, look, you know,
well, that's
if this...
not possible, though, Dale, in a high-density population place like London, 12 million people in an area 25 miles across... you know, there isn't enough room for everybody to grow their own food, far from it. And there are a lot of people out there who have a great deal of difficulty not applying violence to the public at large today to feed their habits, etc. I mean, it really is a very, very terrifying prospect.
Yeah, you know, and watch the breakdown of deliveries happen, and people who've been on Prozac for 5 years don't get their fix. You want to see wackadoos running around. You're going to see psychotics from every... Oh, boy, I don't even want to know about it. Anyway, Mohammed, we're reaching the end of the hour. I want to thank you for doing this with me. It's you know, we're basically trying to keep people up to date a little bit here and give them a little bit of resolve. I do want to recommend people to consider helping out the French Connection. I've been very... very limited stuff coming in to help me keep this fight going, and the people that do help, Robert and Thomas and Jeffrey and the others, I appreciate it, but in the last almost month now, there's practically nothing, and I don't want to go to the begging bowl. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to do that, but I've never had advertisers on my site, Mohammed. The people have offered, you know, to promote their products. I've never put an ad on my site. I never will. I'm not going to do that. And I haven't commercialized this. I don't sell books. I don't sell CDs and discs. I don't sell any of it. It's all free up there. I put it up for free. And I need a little bit of help from time to time, and I wish everybody would consider maybe, you know, a couple of quid to keep this thing going. The other thing I've always hoped for, and I believe I will need it shortly, and it's a... You know, now that I'm on the hate list and the rest of it, I'm going to need a help to fight off some legal things coming up. I'm sure of it, especially being here in France. I just know Mr. Sarkozy's got a few tricks up his sleeve with me, and I'd hate like heck to have to go into that fight penniless and standing in front of the world and have to get a public defender or something. That would be just awful. But you know, it is what it is. If you got a couple of spare quid in your pocket, please help. Consider us instead of that next cup of coffee or something. Consider sending it to us. Anyway, Mohammed, thank you very much.
Oh, Joe, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's today's broadcast. We've gone about an hour and 8 minutes here, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. Listen, we're in the middle of it. It's a continuing saga, a drama. Interesting times. We are living in them, as the Chinese proverb so aptly states it. So until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling all of you, please take care of your families, be kind to one another, and be well. Bye-bye now.